My research is about credibility assessments in the European asylum procedure. So basically, how do we assess the story of asylum seekers when they come here and mostly claim, for example, where they are from or from which country they are? How can we assess whether that's a truthful statement or not? Specifically, I looked at the questions that the Immigration Board asked to those asylum seekers to assess their origin. And we looked at both the style in which the questions were asked. So is it in a very information gathering, inviting approach, or is it a more of a skeptical approach or more accusatory, communicating disbelief? We also looked at question type. Are those open questions that invite a long answer in their own words, or are those closed questions that merely require a very short yes, no, or factual answer?
And what did you find?
Well, we found that actually most questions are asked in a very information gathering style, so that was a very positive finding. However, I also found that a lot of the questions were closed or merely fact-checking questions, by which I mean questions like, what's the color of a car? You can say it's blue, but it doesn't really invite you to give a very long or extensive answer in your own words. So about 75% of the questions were closed or merely factual questions. And I think that balance should be going more towards open questions.
Why is this a problem?
This is a problem because if you want to separate truthful from fabricated accounts, it is important that people are able to give a long and accurate statement, because this is what the Immigration Board looks for. So they assess credibility by looking at detail, consistency, and accuracy of the story. But if you ask questions that promote short and inaccurate answering, then of course you have a confounding factor, as we call that, a factor that can also explain negative credibility findings, but is not necessarily indicative of a fabricated story.
What changes would you like to see in the asylum process and the interview process?
What I think is most important is that we start asking questions from the perspective of the applicant. And what I mean by that is that we start by asking a very open question that asks the person to tell in their own words about, in my case, the living environment. So, for example, you're from Turku in Finland. I've never been there. Tell me everything there is to know about it. Tell me where you lived and what it looked like. And then somebody might give an answer that gives you themes or topics that you can further delve into in the rest of the interview. So you can use those and follow up on those. But you start from the memory traces of the applicant, instead of starting from Google Maps, basically, and starting from what we know about that place and asking a lot of factual questions, because then we're never sure whether somebody really cannot answer a question because he wasn't from that place, or whether he cannot answer the question because he doesn't have a memory trace for that specific piece of information.
Now, afterwards that you've been doing your research, have you been in touch with the people conducting these interviews? What have they said?
Yes, I have presented my research to many asylum officials by now, both in the Netherlands, but also in Norway and in Sweden, even in Mexico, actually. And they respond quite positively. They really want to do a good job, of course. And it's a very difficult job, let me say that at first. So I don't want to criticize them. I want to give them tools to conduct better interviews, basically. And most of them are really receptive to this. And especially because what I propose is not necessarily a big change, because I don't really have a much better method right now than the method that they use. But I do propose a different structure of the interview with a different emphasis. And actually today I found out that the Dutch Migration Board has just issued a new working instruction in which they say start each interview about origin with a very open invitation to talk about their home environment. And I found it out today, but I'm really happy to see that they actually took this recommendation and used it in their policies.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, when do you think that we will see a change?
That's, of course, a very difficult question to answer. The first step is that it's now, for example, in that working instruction. But of course, asking open questions, which I propose, is very difficult. It's more cognitively demanding for an interviewer to ask open questions than to ask closed questions. So the fact that it's now on paper doesn't necessarily mean that tomorrow people will start asking open questions. because it's simply quite difficult to do so. So I think it's also very important that there is investment, for example, in the training of asylum officials, that they really are trained to start with open questions, but also to return to open questions in the interview. So to get that cycle of from open to more closed to again more open questions.
Did they give any explanation as to why they had been conducting their interviews in the way they had in the past, or did they reflect around that?
No, not necessarily, although I do think that of course there's a lot of time pressure in asylum procedures. There is not a lot of objective evidence, so this method I think more of evolved over the years because you need to do something. And that's not to disqualify it. I think that's just the way things work, basically. So I think it's more of a routine that evolved. And they started from, of course, the knowledge that they do have, which is the general knowledge. I refer to Google Maps, that we do have about the country of origin, because that's basically the only thing we have to go on. So my only suggestion is basically do it the other way around. Start from the testimony and then use the information we have to verify it, instead of starting from the information to begin with.
You are one of the first who has looked into this. How did you get into this subject matter?
How did I get into this subject matter? Basically, I did a research master in a completely different topic in the Netherlands, and then I realized that I only wanted to pursue a PhD if I could do really applied research in which I saw the value for society. That's of course very subjective, but then I saw a new program in legal psychology. It was called the House of Legal Psychology, and they listed a couple of topics, among which asylum procedures, and I thought that's something I really feel is important to look into. So that's how it started, and then I just took 6 months to talk to asylum officials, refugee law judges, lawyers, to just get a grasp of what was the most problematic issues at that point in the procedure, because there was no research so far. So I really had to start from nothing. And I really found these credibility issues very interesting. But I also realized that most people or most scholars writing about this had focused on the decisions until now. And I think that when looking at testimony, you should never forget that they're the result of questions. So they don't really emerge in a vacuum. They are the result of the questions we ask. So that's how I came to studying the questions instead.